my name's Sandy and I'm a grateful alcoholic. I'm not going to take you through my dreary drinking, except for one episode. I would buy a copious amount of the beer for the weekend, and I would run out. And I would trot down to a place called Miss Cavendish, which is no longer there. And I would order small beers, and I would put on my cigarette, and I'd have 17 ticks, but Bob, the bartender, had 21. And undoubtedly, he was correct. So I have retired from speaking, and Sandy pestered me continuously, and he's got me back up here, and I'm very nervous because I'm really out of practice. So bear with me, and let's hope that it'll be okay. Drinking. Well, the first thing I wanted to tell you about that is that this place that I used to go in, and after I ran out of beer on Sundays, I'm going by there with 7 months sobriety, and I don't want to go in. And something comes down on me, and it's not a voice, and it says, "Thank God you're sober." Now, this is the first time that I've ever been grateful to be sober. I thought being an alcoholic was an absolute disaster. And then it suddenly turned around, and the third step made some sense to me. Turn your will and your life over to the care of God. And this has been with me ever since. However, the third step did not prevent me from gambling. I left drinking and I went gambling. Not the machines, but the ponies. And I'm somewhat of an expert on calibrating the ponies. And I did this for the next 8 years. And I'm at Saratoga, and I'm not losing. It's a beautiful day. And something comes down on me again, another, I call it a visitation. And it says, "You're in the devil's den. If you know what's good for you, you'll get out right now." I headed for the gate. I've never been back. I won't gamble anything. I won't even flip coins. I don't know if it's not worse than drinking. It's very, very bad. I used to think about nothing else but the ponies. So then, a little time went by, and I got another visitation. Somebody says they come from your subconscious, but I know damn well that that's not where they come from. And the third visitation came down bliss, and I have never lost that since. I'm a very happy camper, and occasionally on some rough spots, I thought maybe that this bliss had disappeared, but no, it came back and stayed with me. I heard someone say the other day that the alcoholic has low self-esteem with an egomaniac, which is quite a combination. I personally was a smart aleck. With my low self-esteem, I was smarter than everybody else, which is a strange combination. Anyway, I come to the meetings and I try to do the steps the best I can to keep that smart aleck away from me. I don't want to have anybody more to do it. I think of my poor father. When my smart aleck used to come out, he used to say, "Oh my God, here's a man with really sensible fella," and he had a son that knew everything, and it used to drive him bananas. Anyway, I got locked up during my drinking. I got locked up in the Douglas, and this didn't affect my drinking one bit. I went right on with my drink. No sooner I got out of there, I was back worse than ever. And I used to to take people out of the Douglas, we'd go down drinking. And Major General of the Douglas didn't like the fact that I was taking all his incumbents down drinking. So he threw me out of there. So I got thrown out of the Douglas, which is quite an honor. Not too many people get thrown out of it. So I've been with this same fellowship for a little more than 40 years sober. I'll be taking a cake on Thursday. I didn't want to take it, but Sandy here makes the most extraordinary cake that you won't believe. And he kept twisting my arm to make a carrot cake. So I'm looking forward to that part of it. Yeah. What can I say about this extraordinary fellowship? I hear these stories, people that should be dead and somehow come around to this fellowship and catch on. Unfortunately, most of the new people that I see don't come. They come one or two meetings. There was a girl that was here for a couple of meetings, and I'd hoped that she'd be here tonight, but no, she's not here. I find that the new people just don't stay around for some reason or other, whether the program is too difficult for them. I was very fortunate. I came, and somehow or other I stayed sober. And there were two elderly gentlemen with well over 20 years sobriety that took a fancy to me. God bless them. One of them put me in, had a special meeting in Montreal West. You never had business meetings there, but he had a special meeting of the business meeting and put me in as secretary. And the other guy put me in a chair at the Sunday afternoon. Well, you know, I really never looked back from that extraordinary. Without these two gentlemen, I kind of doubt whether, because I was getting very, very shaky after about 7 months sobriety. Very dangerous period indeed. And with these two guys, and with that visitation that I spoke to you about, somehow or other I have stayed here around these unbelievable meetings. And my opinion is that we need not only the meetings, but the 12 steps in order to stay on the straight and narrow. And the straight and narrow for me is no drinking, no gambling, and no cigarettes. Somehow I've been able to... The only good thing about the gambling was that the cigarettes were interfering with my... I'd have the binoculars up to look at the starting gate, and I'd have a cigarette in my mouth and dark glasses. I said, these have to go, because they're interfering with my gambling. So thank God the cigarettes went. And I'm not going to keep you for a long-winded conversation, but I want to say how grateful, how thankful, and how happy I am that I'm still a member of this extraordinary fellowship. God bless you all, and many more happy days of sobriety.